Now drawings move in a sky of robin's egg blue. Rays of light crest a bright red globe. The rays shoot off the white continents and a chunky word orbits the planet. Universal. A web address appears, www.universalstudios.com. The planet transforms into a child's toy ball, which has one red stripe and a white star in the center. In the same three colors, a fishing bobber drops into a pool, which reflects a simply drawn crescent moon. Our view soars up into the sky, where a lanky cat in a red and white striped hat sits on the moon's edge, holding a fishing pole. Amid popcorn-like clouds, we float past chunky red letters, DreamWorks SKG. Now a droplet falls into a pool colored robin's egg blue. A smiling goldfish surfaces briefly in the ripples. The shimmering rings form the words Imagine Entertainment. Now we descend past a kite. A polka dot dress hangs on its string, along with the goldfish, who gapes from a teapot. Universal Pictures, DreamWorks Pictures, Imagine Entertainment present, a Brian Grazer production. Mike Myers, Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat.
There are gajillions of stories of mischief and fun, but to keep things simple, let's start with just one. About a mom and two kids and a house and a hat that, oddly enough, was worn by a cat. But soon enough, we'll get to all that. In the valley that stretches from this hill to that hill, a city is nestled. That city is Anvil.
The cartoon turns real. Townspeople follow purple sidewalks.
It's a town that's not huge, but quite big enough for buyers and sellers to sell and buy stuff. From shoes and shirts and elongated bladders to sailboats and gibble-grated berry juice bladders. So our story begins at the corner of Maine and Montreal in the spotless real estate office run by Hank Humberflube.
Humberflube Real Estate, how can we make your dreams come true?
In a lime green office, a delivery man carts boxes of hand sanitizer past a dozen desks. A female worker uses a phone.
What do you mean you're leaving? You're a babysitter. Babysitters don't leave, they sit. Baby leavers leave. Well, I need to come home right away. All right, thank you, Amy.
On the blonde woman's desk, a boy and girl grin from a framed photo.
Attention, everyone! It's 9:02! Staff meeting! Staff meeting!
A bathroom's whole wall reads, employees must wash hands constantly.
First, I'd like to welcome aboard our newest member of the Humberflube family, Jim McFlinigan!
The employee shakes Humberflube's hand.
Fired.
I beg your pardon?
Fired.
But I...
Fired!
The ex-employee runs out. Gawking, Humberflube douses his hand with sanitizer from a dispenser on his belt. He inspects it, then moves on.
As you know, tonight is our bi-monthly meet-and-greet party. Tonight's host is... Joan Walden.
The blonde woman grins.
This is where people can meet our real estate agents in an informal... yet hygienic setting.
Mr. Humberflube, I have to get home to my kids.
Ah, yes.
Humberflube grimaces at the photo.
Your children. Joan, let me make this perfectly clear. If your house is as messy as last time, you're fired!
That's pretty clear, Mr. Humberflube. Don't worry, I promise. My kids will be on their best behavior.
Great.
Beyond the kids' photo, a painting of a neighborhood hangs on a wall. We travel into it.
Humberflube Real Estate, how can we make your dreams come true? Please hold.
If you leave Humberflube's and turn left onto Main, 3 miles down you'll find Lip Lapper Lane. A pleasant enough street in a pleasant enough way, where a neighbor greeted neighbor with a neighborly, hey.
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 Here the hedges were hedged, the weeds were all weeded, and lawns were mowed daily, twice daily if needed. And at the end of this street, in a house like any other, something magical would happen to a sister and her brother.
Inside a pink house, a small dog faces the bottom of a curved staircase. Two furry black feet halt on one step. There are boy's slippers. He eyes the dog. A girl checks a PDA.
Today's to-do list. Number one, make to-do list. Number two, practice coloring. Number three, research graduate schools. Number four, be spontaneous. Number five, create lasting childhood memories.
At a kitchen counter, the boy dumps over a bowl of fruit, then a bowl of peanuts.
What is he doing?
Dozens of cookies tumble off a baking sheet as he tips it. Next, he dumps a cluttered drawer's contents onto the floor. The boy selects a roll of packing tape. As Nevins hides his face, the boy drops food from the fridge, then microwaves popcorn.
Number 10, make tomorrow's to-do list.
The boy wears bagged bread and popcorn for pads and a colander helmet.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nevins, your attention please. You are about to witness the third most spectacular stunt ever performed under this roof.
Do you know how hard it's getting to tell people that we're related?
Relax. I'll put everything back.
His sister watches him prepare at the top of the stairs. He jams a loaf of bread down his pants, bites into a slice, then tosses it aside.
And now for the indoor stair luge.
Indoor stair luge? I'll have to add this one to my list.
Go have no fun somewhere else. Showtime!
He swoops down the stairs on the baking sheet. As he reaches the bottom, Joan arrives and opens the front door. The boy shoots past her, blasting a grocery bag to smithereens, and slams into his mother's parked hatchback. Nevins runs off.
Nevins! Come back!
The boy tilts back his helmet.
Hey, Mom. What's up?
Later, inside, she pulls a dry cleaning bag off a polka dot dress.
You are so lucky you didn't ruin this dress.
Mom, I know you're angry, but there's something you need to know. This was all Sally's fault.
Oh, really? And how exactly was it Sally's fault?
Give me a minute. I'm working on it.
Save it, Conrad. Why today? Why did you have to pick today to destroy the house? You know what's happening today.
I tried to tell him, Mom. Mom's throwing a very important party, I said. All of her important clients will be here. But he went right ahead and wrecked the house and let Nevins get away. Now again, I hope you're going to ground him.
Yes, Sally, for a week. But that's none of your business.
A week? Come on, 2 days.
I asked you to do one thing today, Conrad. Keep the house clean.
She vacuums his shirt.
Frustrating it is that you're always doing the exact opposite of what I say.
Knock, knock, knock.
A man enters with Nevins.
Someone lose a dog?
He smiles. His teeth gleam.
I found him next door in my yard. Again.
You are a saint.
He and Joan kiss.
Here, I thought you were only dating me for my good looks.
Lucky us. Larry Quinn is here.
Hey, sport. Call me Lawrence, okay?
You rescued Nevins. Thanks, Lawrence.
It was my pleasure, Sally. Anything for my little princess?
Oh, I don't want to be a princess. In a constitutional monarchy, Parliament has all the real power.
Lawrence gives a dumbfounded nod.
I see. Okay, that's great. Look, pal, be a sport, and why don't you go and tidy up the living room, okay? Dude?
I don't have to listen to you, Larry.
Conrad, do what Lawrence says.
Conrad glares at his mother's boyfriend, who opens his mouth mockingly. As the boy leaves, Lawrence flashes Sally a grin. She smiles, and her teeth gleam. Later, Conrad cleans the living room as Joan tidies up the dining room.
Have you given some thought about the Wilhelm Academy?
You mean the Colonel Wilhelm Military Academy for Troubled Youth?
That's the one, Joan.
I'm not sure it's right for Conrad.
Oh, Joan. Joan. Joan, Joan, Joan. I have so much respect for you, Joan. Single mother. Career woman raising two children on your own and still finding time to be the best darn real estate agent in town.
She eyes him yearningly.
I know how hard it is, Joan.
It is hard.
Oh, I know.
Conrad eavesdrops.
I know how hard you're trying.
Lawrence holds up a brochure.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime proposition and you must act now. The Colonel Wilhelm Military Academy for Troubled Youth is what we call in the sales game a win-win scenario. A top-flight military school, and it's only 8 hours away.
phone. Joan scampers off. Lawrence throws the brochure down in his briefcase, then practices martial arts moves.
I heard what you said. I'm not going to military school, Larry.
Look, buddy. I know I'm not your dad. This is probably really strange for you, you know? Your neighbors dating your mom, but here's the thing, son. Come here.
He kneels in front of Conrad.
I don't like you either, but I'm gonna marry your mom. And if it was up to me, you'd be at military school today.
Not going to military school.
I think you're gonna love it. It's just like summer camp, except with brutal forced marches and soul-crushing discipline. And one more thing, it's Lawrence, you snuggle.
Joan returns.
Son of a wonderful woman who I'm absolutely crazy about. Gosh, I love children. Oh, Joan, I didn't see you there.
Lawrence, could you be a doll and help me bring up the extra chairs from the basement?
Oh, nothing would give me more pleasure, Joan, but I do have to run. I have a very important sales conference downtown.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll see you at the party tonight.
Sure.
Conrad scowls. Displaying a charming grin, Lawrence retrieves his briefcase. Joan straightens up the dining table. As Lawrence faces Conrad, he drops the smile, puts on a pair of thick-rimmed glasses, and walks off. The boy watches him go. Lawrence faces him, marching away backwards, and opens the front door. He salutes, snaps his heels together, and leaves.
Mom, that guy's a total phony. You can't let Larry...
It's Lawrence, Conrad.
She answers the front door.
Kate's Catering. I'm here to do your party tonight.
Oh, hi. Where's Kate?
I'm Kate.
Oh, okay. Right this way, Kate.
Later...
Mom, you gotta listen to me as soon as...
Quiet!
Nevins eats from a plate on the kitchen counter.
See?
Nevins!
She puts him on the floor, then faces the phone.
I said quiet!
She gives her children a sheepish smile, then answers it.
Joan Walden Real Estate, be it ever so humble. There's no place like Joan.
This is Mr. Humberflube.
Oh, hi, Mr. Humberflube.
Joan, I need you to come back to the office.
Today?
Yes, Joan. No problem?
No problem at all.
Great!
She hangs up.
Oh. What's going on, Mommy?
Mommy has to go back to the office. Oh, I hope Mrs. Kwan can babysit.
Now, Mrs. Kwan!
Now a peephole shows a heavy-set woman's distorted face. Joan answers the door.
Hi, Mrs. Kwan.
Hi.
I'm running late. Thanks for babysitting on such short notice.
Yeah.
Okay, Mrs.
Joan
Kwan.
Nudges her inside.
I'll be back in a couple of hours. Conrad's grounded, so no video games. Sally, last chance. If you want to make cupcakes, I can take you to your friend Ginny's house.
Ginny's not my friend anymore. Last time we made cupcakes, she wanted to be the head chef. I'm the head chef.
Well, what about Denise, then?
She talked back to me, so I ordered her not to speak to me anymore.
And you don't like Bossy?
I won't tolerate it.
Right. Well, if you're both staying, remember the rules. Conrad, no playing ball in the house, no fighting, no answering the phone, city morgue.
Mommy, can't I have some rules?
No chewing tobacco.
Thanks, Mom. You have my word.
And absolutely no one sets foot in the living room or else.
Or else what? You're going to do what Larry said and send me to military school?
Maybe if you just behave, I wouldn't have to consider military school. I wish I could trust you.
Conrad stands.
I wish I had a different mom.
Well, sometimes I wish the same thing.
Joan exits. Conrad sits beside Sally and glowers. Outside, Joan hesitates. She turns back to the front door, then checks her watch. She hurries down the front steps to her hatchback. In the next driveway, Lawrence opens the door of his convertible.
Good luck with your meeting.
As she waves, he blows her a kiss. Joan drives off past rows of identical pink houses with mint green roofs. Conrad watches from a window as Lawrence gets into his convertible, then peers over his shoulder. Joan's lime green hatchback disappears behind a house. Lawrence yanks off a clip-on tie, grabs his briefcase, and rushes into his own house.
Children, would you like to watch television with me? You don't have to tell your mother.
Mrs. Kwan watches a newscast. A caption reads, Taiwanese Parliament Filibuster.
I wish Taiwanese parliament.
You tell them, Guai Zhong, no more big government. Rip his heart out.
The kids glumly move to the window and gaze outside. On the couch, Mrs. Kwan's eyelids flutter behind her thick round glasses, and she nods off to sleep. Nevin stretches out on the carpet.
Hit me!
The babysitter slumps over. Now at the window.
So they slumped in their chairs, too glum to complain. And to make matters worse, it started to rain.
A raindrop knocks a butterfly out of the air.
They sat in the house on that cold, cold, wet day, with no fun to have and no games to play. They could just stare out the window or perhaps get a nap in and hope that something, anything, might happen.
Quit bothering the fish.
Conrad licks his palm and shoves it at his sister.
Spit him.
Oh, gross. Get that ocean away from me. Get it away.
Then something went bump. How that bump made them jump.
They rush to the stairs.
I think it came from the closet.
Conrad warily leads his sister upstairs to a lime green door at the top. As he inches forward and grips the doorknob, Sally hesitates behind him. He eases the door open and peeks inside. Conrad leans into the dark closet as his sister watches. With a lurch, he disappears into the darkness. Sally steps to the open door.
Conrad? Conrad? Come on, Conrad.
A furry teddy bear flies out, knocking Sally down. She shoves it back at Conrad.
You shouldn't scare people.
You should have seen the look on your face. It was like you saw a monster.
A monster? Where?
The kids flee from a man-sized cat.
That could have gone better.
The white-faced black cat in a red bow tie zips away. The kids bolt downstairs into another closet. Sally shuts them in total darkness.
What was that?
I don't know. Looked like a humongous cat.
A light turns on.
Humongous? I prefer the term big bone to jolly.
Now, what are we hiding from?
The cat's behind them. Sally and Conrad run back upstairs into a bedroom. They duck under the bed and huddle on the polished hardwood floor.
That was a giant cat.
But that's impossible, isn't it?
It's entirely impossible. You know, I like this hiding place a lot better. They'll never find us here.
The cat looks at us.
Scream and run.
The kids scoot out and gape down at the cat's long furry tail and kicking legs.
Who? Me?
He's behind them.
Why, I'm the cat in the hat. There's no doubt about that. I'm a superfundiferous feline who's here to make sure that you're...
He frowns under his striped stovepipe hat.
Meline, key lime, turpentine. I got nothing. I'm not so good with the rhyming. Not really, no. Look. I'm a cat that can talk. That should be enough for you people. Oh, I don't even know what's going on.
The cat shuffles out into the hall.
Where did you come from?
How do I put this? When a mommy cat and a daddy cat love each other very much, they decide that...
No. Where did you come from?
My place! What do you think?
No. How did you get here?
I drove! Look, I've been here 2 whole minutes and no one has offered me a drink. Oh, room.
Sorry, Mr. Cat. Would you like some milk?
Milk? Ugh, no! Lactose intolerant gums up the works. Oy. You'll thank me later.
The cat grabs the wooden serving tray.
Hello! Surf's up!
He surfs down the stairs on the tray, spinning around twice. At the bottom, he stomps on its lip and the tray flips upstairs, landing safely back on its stand.
Nice spread you got here. Hummina, hummina, hummina.
He picks up Joan's picture.
Who is this?
He pulls the frame apart like a centerfold. His stovepipe hat lengthens.
That's my mom.
Awkward.
He pockets the picture.
Yes, this place will do quite nicely, actually. Yeah. Although those drapes are a train wreck.
He enters the family room and sits.
And this is the lumpiest couch I ever sat on. Who is this dreadfully uncomfortable woman?
Get off her. That's our babysitter.
What the? Babysitter? You don't need one of those, do you?
He produces a coat hanger, tucks it into her collar, and carries Mrs. Kwan across the room.
Let me get this straight. You pay this woman to sit on babies? That's disgusting.
He hangs her in a closet.
I'd do it for nothing.
After posing proudly, he shuffles up to the children.
Now, let's see what the old phenometer has to say.
Phenometer?
Yeah, it measures how fun you are.
A suction cup extends from the handheld machine and attaches to Sally's forehead. The cat patiently squeezes a rubber bulb while listening through a stethoscope earpiece. An arrow on the phenometer's gauge points to serial arsonist. Frowning, he taps the glass, and the arrow moves to a different face.
Ah, control freak. Yeah. Now you.
He attaches the phenometer to Conrad's forehead and pumps it up. The gauge's arrow points at rule breaker, then dips to a face reading bedwetter. Snickering, the cat shows Conrad the gauge.
Oh.
Tap it.
Listen, kid, you can tap it with a hammer. It ain't gonna change.
He removes the stethoscope.
Just as I suspected, you guys are both out of whack. Mm-hmm. You're a control freak and you're a rule breaker. That'll be $700. Who's your insurance carrier?
He slides a credit card.
So what do we do?
Well, there are two treatments I'd recommend. One is a series of painful shots injected into your abdomen and kneecaps.
He shows a syringe.
And the other involves a musical number. Me, 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 oh!
How many shots?
How many shots? Aren't you precious?
The cat spins and his tail slaps Sally onto the velvet sofa. His striped stovepipe hat opens and the cat puts a disc on a mini gramophone.
Maestro!
Putting a finger to his lips, he peers through the window at the rain.
I know it is wet and the sun is not sunny, but we can have lots of good fun that is funny. It's fun to have fun, but you got to know how.
He stifles an upchuck, then spits out a huge wad of fur.
Hairball.
He tosses it atop a classical bust's bald head.
I know lots of good tricks, and I'll stop this right now!
Who said that?
The goldfish eyes them.
Remember the fish? Came home in a baggie, loved me for 2 weeks, and then nothing!
The fish is talking.
Well, sure, he can talk, but is he saying anything?
No.
The fish points a fin.
Hey, socks! Can it? This cat should not be here. He should not be about. He should not be here when your mother is out.
Come on, kids, you're gonna listen to him? He drinks where he pees.
Clapping castanets, the cat wears a fruit-topped hat like Carmen Miranda's, gaudy bracelets and earrings, and a bikini top made of orange halves.
There was this cat I knew back home where I was bred. He never listened to a single thing his mother said. He never used a litter box, he made a mess in the halls. That's why they sent him to a vet who cut off both his boo.
Boo, boo.
Boy, that wasn't fun.
The cat shakes his rump.
He never learned you can have fun. Fun, fun. But that's his boy. They may ship you off to school, so rein it in a little. We can't spell fun without you in the middle.
Children, this cat is currently in violation of 17 of your mother's rules.
City morgue.
Okay.
The cat hangs up, doors open, and he struts out dressed as a matador, waving a cape. The adjoining room shows a bullfighting arena. A bull charges, and the cat shuts the doors. Sharp horns ram through the wood. The bump sends the cat flying into the family room, where he lands, balancing on a ball.
You could juggle, work, and play, but you have to know the way. You could keep afloat a wish, like the way I do this fish. You can be a happy fella, someone throw me that umbrella, and that rake, that tank. Let's watch you make it, so have fun.
Still on one foot, he balances the fishbowl on the umbrella and makes a teetering stack of freestanding books on his elbow.
Fun, fun, no more rain. Look, it's the sun, sun, sun. So can't you see?
He catches a fan in his tail and a toy man and boat on his index finger, then sips milk through a straw.
Milk? Big mistake.
His stomach bloats.
But remember this, you can't have fun without you.
I can't breathe.
As the cat's stomach swells, the kids gape.
I knew that milk would come back to haunt me.
Help! Help!
Slime. slime and hairballs spatter Sally and Conrad. As the cat flips and falls, he catches all his props.
You in the middle!
The fish lands in a teapot. The cat lashes out a frog-like tongue, catches the toy man, and swallows it.
Bravo, cat. I think these children are smart enough not to fall for your MTV-style flash at the expense of content and moral values.
That was wicked cool.
Do it again.
I'd love to, but Shamu is right. I really should be going.
No, don't go.
No, I should go. I should let you and the fish have all your fun conjugating verbs, cleaning a room, doing long division.
No, you have to stay.
All right, I'll stay.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah! But if I'm going to stay, there's something I want to show you. Something magical and full of wonder.
He slams down a huge document.
It's called a contract.
You want us to sign this?
Just a formality, really. Yeah.
Who are they?
Stern men in suits appear.
Magical time-traveling elves. Yeah, magic.
As the cat grins, Conrad frowns and Sally stares.
Okay, they're my lawyers. Liability issues, litigious society, frivolous lawsuits, you understand. Basically, this contract guarantees you can have all the fun you want and nothing bad's ever gonna happen.
All the fun we want?
Nothing bad will happen.
Nope.
Come on, Sal, for once in your life, try something spontaneous.
The cat wiggles a pen in front of her.
It goes against my better instincts, but...
Sally grins and takes the pen.
Fine.
Beautiful initial here. And here. And here. Not here! Turn it over.
They find a spayed and neutered certificate.
This is nothing.
He points to the contract.
Scratch this. Smell that. Terrific.
Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
Sign the bottom.
He eyes the kids cagily as they sign.
Great. Okay. Give me five.
The cat counts his fingers.
Four.
Conrad and Sally fold their thumbs in and slap the cat's hand.
Let's get this party started.
He prances into the living room.
Hey, check out this room.
The kids stare.
What now?
Mom says we're not allowed in the living room today or else.
She's worried we'll mess up the couches by jumping on them or something.
And she's right. You can't jump on these. Not like this. They need some adjustment.
He slaps on a cat name tag and a matching mechanic's cap.
Let's take a look under the hood.
He claps, spits, and lifts a couch cushion. Stooping over the sofa, his butt crack shows.
Sorry. What we got here?
The cat pulls out a huge tennis racket.
Here we go. It's oversized. That's unusual.
He digs out a car jack.
Here it is.
An elephant's trunk curls out of the sofa.
Down, Chippa! Down, Chippa! Get out of here!
As he whacks the beast down, it sprays him. The trunk pulls the cat into the sofa and they wrestle. Sally watches bug-eyed. The cat climbs out of the sofa and squints at the kids.
Thanks for the help.
Now he scoots under the couch on his back.
Back in a second. Your couch mechanic. You ought to call Mr. Catherine.
Sparks pelt the cat.
Oh, my fur, my fur, my fur.
Kicking wildly, the cat slides further under the smoking sofa, then rolls out.
That ought to do it.
Woo!
The cat climbs on top of the couch and bounces on the middle cushion. He springs into the air, flutters his feet, and lands on the opposite couch. Spreading his arms, he jumps again.
Come on, kids. I could use a little company.
What about Mom's party?
What about it? We signed the contract. Woo-hoo!
Conrad joins the cat on the bouncy couch.
One cushion left, Sally.
She'll never do it. She doesn't know how to have fun.
Fun? Sally, you're better than fun. Fun is beneath you.
Yeah.
Remember what your mother told you. No one sets foot in the living room. You know what? Let's just watch some flashbacks.
Absolutely no one sets foot in the living room or else.
You're fired, 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 fired. Fired, fired.
Sally shifts her eyes.
And that's why...
The cat picks up the fish and hurls him into the toilet. The lid drops closed.
This is where they buried my brother!
A smile spreads over Sally's face. She races to the couch and leaps up with the others.
Yes. This is amazing!
Like being in the circus!
Yeah, but without those tortured animals, the drunken clowns that have hepatitis.
See, kids, I told you we could have fun.
Lawrence creeps in.
Best thing is, no one will ever...
Lawrence eyes the kids. The cat is gone.
Judas Priest, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Oh, Mr. Quinn, I was just telling Conrad to get off the couch. Bad, Conrad, bad.
Sally, baby, angel, princess, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret, okay?
He leans close.
Nobody likes a suck-up!
Sally's smile fades. As he heads past them, the kids search the empty living room.
Where's the cat? I don't know.
Sally and Conrad glance up. Lawrence walks toward them, holding a six-pack and a sandwich.
Oh.
Good breath.
The cat drops down, bounces on the couch, then spins in midair.
What are you two looking at?
As Lawrence turns around, the cat clings to the ceiling. Above, the cat scratches his bottom, and fur bits fall over Lawrence.
Is there a cat in here?
He heads for the door.
Get out of here!
See, kids, I told you, stick with me, it'll all work out.
The cat falls to the floor.
Little known fact, cats always land on their tushy.
Thought they always landed on their feet.
Oh, sure, now you tell me. A rump.
So, kiddo, what do you want to do for fun?
I want to make cupcakes.
Cupcakes? Oh, yeah! To the kitchen!
Live from the kitchen, the following is a paid commercial announcement for Astounding Products.
Hi! Welcome to Astounding Products.
A cat in a blonde wig faces their audience seats.
I'm your host, the guy in the sweater who asks all the obvious questions. Now, here to tell us about his astounding product for making cupcakes, all the way from Cheshire, England, please welcome me!
Another cat arrives wearing a striped chef hat and suspenders.
Hello, I'm so excited! Do you love making cupcakes but hate all the hard cupcake work? I know I do. Don't forget everything you know about making cupcakes and say hello.
He lifts a small appliance.
To the amazing cupcake-inator. I'm so excited!
Cupcake a what?
Cupcake-inator! This amazing device can instantly make cupcakes out of anything that you have in the kitchen.
Wait a minute, did you say anything?
Anything.
Anything.
Yes, anything.
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 I'll get you, and I'll look like a bloody accident. Anything. Now, let's see. Take off the lid. You can put in, I don't know, a carton of eggs.
What?
How about a pack of hot dogs? Why not? Some ketchup. What about? I know what you're thinking. Even a fire extinguisher.
As he inserts it, the host grimaces.
Hmm? Now, close the lid and Bob's your flippin' uncle.
What an astounding product! Oh, yeah!
Open the drawer. Fill the patented cupcake in a tray.
Purple glop fills the holes.
Close the drawer. Then plate it in a conventional oven.
As the host cat shimmies and grins, the cat laughs in the audience.
Oh, yeah! Delicious cupcakes are just minutes away.
Did you just say minutes away? That's impossible!
You're not just wrong, you're stupid.
Now wait just a minute.
And you're ugly, just like your mum.
Did you just call my mother ugly?
Shut up! I mean it. I will end you!
Chef brings a cleaver down on his own tail.
Cat, your tail.
What about it? Oh, I see. I've chopped it off. Well, that's interesting because...
He lifts the tip.
Son of a bitch!
A message reads, "Hang in there, baby." Later at the kitchen table.
Look, I'm not saying we're going to sue. I'm just saying we have a case.
He notices us.
We'll talk later. Ixnay, ixnay.
The lawyers leave.
Cat, is the oven supposed to be making that sound?
Smoke billows from the shaking oven.
Of course. That means they're almost done, Conrack.
Conrack.
That's what I said, Condor.
Cat!
Now that's my name!
They approach the oven. The cat opens an umbrella as purple slime explodes out of the oven and splatters everywhere.
Yep! They're done!
Oh, man.
There's nothing to worry about. I'm sure they still taste fine.
The cat licks his finger.
They're horrible. Who wants them?
He holds his finger to their lips. In the bathroom, the fish lifts the toilet lid.
Oh, my God.
Cat, you need to clean this mess up pronto. We have a contract.
All right, I'll try.
Sally pulls on his bow tie.
You don't try, you do.
Yes, ma'am. Right away, ma'am. I'll be right back.
As he turns, the cat hits Conrad with his tail, knocking him into the next room. The cat opens the hall closet.
Hi, how are you?
As Mrs. Kwan snoozes, he removes their mother's polka-dotted dress and holds it up.
Look, I'm a girl.
The cat scrubs the wall with the dress.
Stop! That's Mom's dress!
This filthy thing?
She was going to wear that tonight and you ruined it.
Honey, it was ruined when she bought it.
The cat snaps and shifts his head. The fish scoots out in a teapot.
I told you all this would happen. But no one listens to a fish. A dog goes woof woof and everybody knows that little Timmy's trapped under a log, but a fish speaks in plain English.
All right, everyone, let's just take a deep breath and calm down. You know who's gonna solve it? Me. I am. I will personally take care of everything.
And I know just the guys to do it.
As he runs out, Sally's eyes grow wide. Now the cat pushes a large red crate through the front door and into the living room. The kids follow.
In this box are two things. I will show them to you. Two things, and I call them Thing One and Thing Two. These things will not bite you. They want to have fun. So without further ado, meet Thing Two and Thing One!
Two small blue-haired youngsters with tiny noses spin out of the crate.
Oh, yeah!
The elvish creatures stand proudly.
Thing One, Comrade Sally, Comrade Sally, Thing One. Thing Two, Comrade Sally, Comrade Sally, Thing Two. Thing One, Thing Two, Thing Two, Thing One, Comrade Sally, Sally, Conrad, I am the cat.
Don't belittle me.
Ah, yes, of course. Thing Two would like to clarify that just because he wears the number two does not imply in any way that he's inferior to Thing One.
And all of the above.
He says you may feel free to call him Thing A if you like. He will also accept Super Thing, Thing King, Kid Dynamite, Chocolate Thunder, or Bed.
Conrad looks past the things. Behind them, the red crate bulges.
Thing One says he's Thing One for a reason, and some people should just get used to it. It's a thing you wouldn't understand.
Okay, enough!
As Conrad opens the crate, the cat shuts the lid.
Listen, Convex, you probably don't want to do that.
Why not? It's just a crate.
This isn't just any old crate. It's the trans-dimensional transportalator. It's kind of like a doorway which leads from this world to my world.
But it says made in the Philippines.
Yes, but not this Philippines. Look, now I'm not usually a rules guy, but this is a biggie. No opening the crate. No looky, no touchy. Got it?
The cat sets down a padlock. Shaped like a crab, it grows legs, crawls to the latch, and hooks its claws around the loop.
Things front and center.
Cool.
All right, Things. I'm not paying you to stand around and look pretty.
Here's Mom's dress.
The Things whirl the dress, flinging the slimy batter onto the couch. Sally's jaw drops.
What about the couch?
Which couch? The clean one or the horribly stained one?
Thing One grabs Thing Two by the feet and pounds him against the couch. The stains bounce off and splatter onto the curtains, paintings, and walls. As the cat salutes, the things pull down the curtains and twirl them over their heads.
He's coming!
Splotches land on Conrad and Sally.
The wreckage!
Conrad runs to the hall closet, shoves Mrs. Kwan to the side, and grabs two butterfly nets. He passes one to Sally. Thing One flips over a couch and enters the dining room. It hops onto two stacks of plates. As Sally faces it, the thing does a Cossack dance, kicking out the plates. Sally swings her net at the incoming projectiles and misses. Plates crash to the floor.
Conrad, help! Help yourself!
In the family room, Conrad waves his net. Thing One somersaults up the wall, prances upside down on the ceiling, and swings from a light. Now as Thing One bicycles down the stairs, the cat flips and shuffles his feet. Thing One backflips through the foyer. Now a cross-section view of the house shows the things whizzing through all the rooms. Meanwhile, Conrad inserts a bent paperclip into the crab lock. The lock jumps back, snapping its claws. Leaping off the crate, the crab crawls along the carpet and hops onto Nevin's collar. As Nevin shakes, the lock holds tight. Now the things ride Mrs. Kwan down the stairs like a sled. They fling her upright onto the couch beside the cat. As Conrad warily chases a thing, the cat folds a newspaper and faces the sleeping woman.
If this were my house, I'd be furious.
Behind him, a thing flies a kite. As they bounce off the walls, the cat notices the unlocked crate.
Hey! Klondike! Do you have any idea what happened to the lock on this crate?
It's on Nevins' collar.
Nevins?
Holding Nevins over their heads, the things pirouette around the living room.
Down! I say, put the dog down! Why won't they listen to me?
Oh, I don't know if this helps, but the things always do the opposite of what you say.
Why do they always do the opposite? That's so annoying!
Remind you of anyone, Conrad?
Zinga!
As Conrad and Sally swing at the things, they net each other.
Boom! 41! Dead! Hut! Hut!
Thing 2 hikes Nevins under his legs to Thing 1.
Don't let Conrad go!
Let's go!
Thing 1 heaves Nevins.
I mean, don't catch him!
Nevins flies out a window, lands on the lawn, and runs off.
Well, this is just great, Conrad. The whole house is destroyed, the party is ruined, and now Nevins is gone.
Sally, Kojak, that's nothing compared to what's going to happen if we don't lock this crate. Take a look. It's already leaking.
The crate's lid bounces and a hazy mist billows out. Conrad closes the latch.
It won't stay shut.
Not without the lock. Look, if we don't get that lock off of Nevins and put it back on this crate, we're going to be staring down the business end of the mother of all messes.
Conrad and Sally struggle to hold the lid down.
We got to go out and find Nevins.
Impossible! Sally! There's only 4 hours till the party!
The fish is right. We should call Mom and tell her what happened.
Look at this house! There's a way to explain this to Mom! We gotta get Nevins back and lock the crate!
We're staying and calling Mom.
We're going and getting the dog!
There is a third option.
There is?
Yes. It involves...
The cat stands at an organ.
Murder.
That's your option?
No. But you guys both had options. I just wanted to have one, too. Or did I?
Cat, you're not helping!
Come on, let's go get that dog. Now, we just need a heavy, inanimate object to weigh down this crate.
The cat looks around, then faces the kids and nods. Later, Mrs. Kwan sleeps on top of the crate.
There! That ought to buy us some time. Come on, kids, let's go, go, go!
In the next house, Lawrence grimaces. He pries a corset off his waist, unleashing a bulging, hairy stomach. He plops down into a lounger and pulls a pair of dentures from his mouth. A TV shows a woman performing gymnastics.
Yeah!
Three men in green coveralls enter.
What do you want now?
Repo.
One of the men hands him a notice.
You're repossessing my TV? Well, I'm sure I made a payment. If it's about that bounce check, here, let me give you a credit card.
Expired.
The repo men carry out the TV.
Oh, come on.
He looks out the window and sees Nevins in the street.
With the lock on his collar, Nevins kept running, unaware of his part in the evil Quinn's cunning.
Joan answers a phone.
Joan Walden Real Estate, be it ever so humble, there's no...
Oh, hi, Joan. The kids let the dog out again.
You're kidding.
But don't worry, I'll go get him, and then we'll have a conversation vis-a-vis military school.
I don't know. Conrad's like you, Lawrence. He's very sensitive.
Lawrence picks his nose.
But I suppose it's something I should consider.
I'll get the dog. I'll be right over.
Joan hangs up. Back at the house, Lawrence picks his belly button. Now the kids find Nevins in another yard.
Okay, there's Nevins. Stay out of sight.
They duck. The kids sneak along a white picket fence, stopping every few feet to spy on Nevins. Behind them, the cat flexes his whiskers like violin strings.
I thought the moment needed something.
The fish pops from Conrad's backpack.
What will become of us? Your mother will lose her job, and we'll have to live on the street. I can't. Please don't make me go. I don't know this world. It's dry. It's gigantic. It's too much.
Would you like to go back in the toilet?
On second thought, it's such a beautiful day. Why spend it indoors?
Thank you.
Pinching his nose, the fish drops into his jar and closes the lid.
Okay, kids, get out of my way. This fence is no match for my cat-like grace and reflexes. Okay, here we go.
He flexes his knuckles, then does knee bends.
Ow. Okay. Watch me fly, kids.
He shakes one leg, then charges straight at us. Later, the kids struggle to hoist him over the fence.
Help!
I don't think the little girl's even trying.
What about your cat-like reflexes?
What about showing a little effort, Shrimpo? Now push!
They hurl him over. He pops up with a garden hoe.
All right, Nevins. Time to die.
Cat, you scared him away!
The cat looks at the tool.
Dirty hoe.
He throws it down. It pops back up.
I'm sorry, baby. I love you.
He inches his tongue toward the hoe.
Come on, cat!
Nevin scampers into a neighbor's yard.
There he is!
Through a window, the cat, Sally, and Conrad see a man serving birthday cake.
Happy birthday, Denise.
Denise? Everyone I know is there. There's Jenny and Ellen. How come Denise didn't invite me to her birthday?
Don't worry. Let's just get Nevin's and go.
Okay, kids, everyone outside!
As the kids leave the room, the cat, Conrad, and Sally run away from the window. On the lawn, Nevin snatches a sausage off a picnic table. Conrad and Sally duck behind a bush.
Cat, get down! They're gonna
The cat notices a piñata shaped and colored just like him. Now the kids grab plastic baseball bats on their way out of the house. The piñata lies behind the bush, and the cat himself hangs from the tree in its place. As a boy grabs his hand and turns him, the cat frowns. A blindfolded Denise takes a swing at his leg.
Everybody join in!
The cat gapes as the circling kids whack him with their colorful bats.
It's crazy!
Now a husky boy approaches.
Step out of my way.
He holds a wooden bat. Conrad watches.
This cannot end well.
As the cat waves a tiny white flag, the boy whacks him in the crotch. Ah! The cat imagines himself in a dress and bonnet on a tree swing by a unicorn.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Back at the party, Sally covers her ears, wincing. One by one, the slack-jawed kids drop their bats. Nevins' sausage falls from his mouth.
I got an idea.
Conrad throws candy from the piñata. The kids race to collect it, leaving the cat. Behind the husky boy, the cat raises the wooden bat. Conrad and Sally hold him back. Now Nevins carries his sausage down Lip Lopper Lane. At the Walden house, Mrs. Kwan sleeps. She rolls off the crate and answers.
I'd have to buy some.
Hello, Mrs. Kwan. It's Joan Walden. I just called to check on the kids. Are they okay?
Oh, those aren't children. They're little angels.
The things are dressed like Conrad and Sally.
That's sweet. Well, all right, Mrs. Kwan. I'll be home as soon as I can. Bye-bye.
Mrs. Kwan plops onto the couch and falls asleep. Above her, Thing One tugs on a marionette's strings and jerks the babysitter around the room. Thing Two sits on the floor, clapping. Behind them, pink bubbles of slime float from the open crate. Inside it, squirming spiral staircases twist into the depths as pink blobs escape. Outside, Nevin sniffs at a fire hydrant. Behind a bush, a periscope with eyes pops up from the top of the cat's hat. The cat peers through a viewfinder.
All right, soldier, our bogey is in range. Commence search and destroy.
What?
Search and rescue. I meant search and rescue. Come on.
Can't believe it was invited to that party.
Hey! You're a lone wolf. Live alone, die alone. Yeah.
Hey, can we please get the dog?
Can we please get the dog? Can we please get the dog? Boo!
Lawrence's convertible pulls up.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Hello, Nevins. Goodbye, Conrad.
He picks the dog up.
Not that tough now, are you?
His eyes dart around. Conrad and Sally peer from the bush. A view through the periscope's crosshairs shows Lawrence getting into the convertible. He drives off, smiling to himself.
Dead. We're never going to get that crate shot. And I'm getting shipped off to Colonel Von Krunk's school for wayward boys.
Why don't we take my car?
You have a car?
Yeah, sure.
He clicks the remote and a silver Humvee rolls out of the garage.
Wow, that is so cool.
That's just the dust cover.
The cat pulls the Humvee tarp, revealing a chubby, dart-shaped car.
Here she is, the super luxurious, omnidirectional whatchamajigger.
Or S-L-O-W for short.
S-L-O-W?
Yeah, slow. It's better than the last name we had. Super Hydraulic Instantaneous Transporter.
Oh, you mean...
Quick to the slow!
He dashes into the silver vehicle, leaving a blurry trail behind him. The kids follow.
Buckle up, kids. We're on a mission to get that dog, and we will not rest until we find it and destroy it.
Rescue it!
Rescue it! Of course I meant rescue it. Whatever. Remember, kids, there's nothing faster than slow. That's backwards. It makes no sense. Look at you. Arf!
Okay, here we go. GPS, check. DVD, CD, check. The roof of Czechoslovakia is a check.
He puts the fish jar on the roof.
Siren!
Siren?
A thruster fires and the slow zooms off.
Let's go!
The fish waves his fins and shrieks.
Hi there, how are you?
The cat waves to a neighbor. As they exit Lip Lapper Lane, the slow goes into a tailspin. The cat turns onto another street. Meanwhile, Lawrence drives the convertible.
I'm sending Conrad away. Oh.
Nevins pees on a fast food box on the seat. Lawrence sniffs it, grimacing.
Oh. I can't believe you whizzed on my taco!
As Lawrence drives down another street, the slow turns, following closely.
Wait till Joan gets a load of you.
As the slow approaches an intersection, the fish gapes.
There they are!
Red light, red light, red light!
The cat lets go of the wheels. The slow runs the light, narrowly missing cars. The fish jar topples inside the cockpit's sunroof.
Someone else should drive!
The cat slides the steering wheel over.
Concrete, you drive.
Are you serious?
I don't know. A little voice inside of me is saying, this is a bad idea. But I can barely hear that little voice because an even louder little voice is screaming, let the 12-year-old drive! Now punch it!
As Conrad's foot hits the gas, the cat gets thrown against the seat. Wearing a crash helmet, the cat raises a sack labeled barf bag to his mouth.
I want to drive.
I think that's a great idea.
Another steering wheel pops up, and the cat slides it to Sally.
Wait, two people can't drive at the same time?
You're right. We should all drive.
A third steering wheel pops up in front of the cat. As he jerks it, the slow veers into a few spins, leaving skid marks on the asphalt.
Where are the brakes?
I'll get them.
Reaching down, he yanks the brake pedal off.
I think there's something wrong with your brakes. When's the last time you had them checked?
Conrad's eyes widen.
Fair break!
As the cat tosses the part out of the window, the slow swerves into downtown Anvil. They drive under an arch reading wrong way.
One way straight, one way straight, one way straight, one way straight!
The fish points forward. A big rig truck heads straight toward them.
Rhode Island license plate. You never see those.
The slow swerves away. As Conrad grips his wheel, Sally covers her eyes, twisting hers. The cat meditates. The slow smashes into a giant anvil near a shopping center. The cat's hat inflates.
Airbag. Standard.
The fish jar rolls away from the wreck.
I think I wet my jar.
Can we do that again?
The cat places a steering lock across two wheels and clicks the remote. The slow sputters white feathers into the air.
Oh. Hey, there he is!
Lawrence's car pulls up in front of Humber Flube's real estate.
Oh no, he's going into Mom's office! Come on, cat!
As they scoot out, Lawrence picks up the dog.
You know, Nevins, when Joan finds out you've escaped again, Conrad will be moving out, and I'll be moving in.
The kids and the cat see a meter maid writing Lawrence a ticket.
We've got to get Nevins in that lockback. What are we going to do?
Don't worry. I have three plans.
He opens a file.
Plan A, mess up a perfectly clean house. Done that. Plan B, cut your losses and ditch the kids. That could work.
What about that one?
Plan C, trick Mom's boyfriend into handing over dog and lock? I don't know. I still like Plan B.
Cat!
Okay. Plan C, look at you.
Now, the cat wears dreadlocks and a peace symbol t-shirt. He holds a petition reading, Save the Zumzizaru.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like you to sign my petition. Yeah.
Get out of my way, you hippie freak.
Are you aware of the senseless wholesale slaughter of the flatulating acid-spitting Zumzizaru? Yeah.
What will it take to get you out of my face?
Just sign my petition with this large, oversized pen that requires two hands.
I see.
The cat readies the giant ballpoint.
Can you hold my dog?
Yes!
Hiding, the kids
okay.
Watch.
I have a problem with the word dog. I don't use the D word per se, because I think it's really, really wrong. Yeah.
but I will happily hold your canine American. Yeah, more comfortable with that, really.
The cat hands Lawrence the pen and takes Nevins.
How much is that canine American in the window?
Cat! Come on!
As the cat turns tail and runs, Lawrence finishes signing.
Hey!
What the?
Come back here! I'm on to you, kids!
Nothing to see here. Keep moving. Go!
Lawrence chases the trio. They stop at a sidewalk kiosk.
Get in!
As the cat opens a door, smoke pours out. The kids and the cat ride a pole down to an underground club. Ravers wear striped stovepipe hats and wave glow sticks. The cat grins and points at a clubgoer, then pumps his arms in the air. As bubbles rain down from the ceiling, the cat turns to face a blonde woman in a halter top who eyes him seductively. Now, behind them, Lawrence slides down the pole. He pushes his way through the crowd. The cat and the kids fall on their rears. The cat grabs one from a pile.
Go!
As they flee out of the kiosk to the sidewalk, the cat chases his tail.
I'm walking here!
Lawrence exits the kiosk and glances around. Grimacing, he heads for Humber Flube's real estate. Meanwhile, the kids join the cat by a fountain. Conrad removes the crab lock from Nevins' collar and sticks it in his pocket.
I think we lost him.
Not the pocket.
We got the lock back. Now let's get home.
Relax, kid. I'm all over it. Hey.
What's wrong?
This is not my hat. I must have picked up the wrong hat back there.
So?
Without my hat, I'm just your garden variety 6-foot-tall talking cat.
Nearby.
John, your children are running around town like complete maniacs.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, they are. With some weird, hairy man in a big hat.
Uh-huh.
Joan, you're going to leave everything I'm telling you once we get to your house, okay?
They get into the hatchback.
We're doomed!
We're dead. This is all my fault. I'm such an idiot. Why do I always have to do the opposite of what I'm supposed to?
Wait a second. That's it. The opposite. Hey, Things! Don't help us! Do not show up and help us get home right now!
But Things pull up in Lawrence's convertible.
Larry's car?
How'd you get so smart?
So the race was on to get back home first.
Hang on, we gotta beat Mom and Gwynhol.
But back at their home, things were just getting worse.
In the living room, jelly-like pink slime seeps from the crate. As the bubbles float upward, one pulls a flower from a painting on the wall. More tentacles of goo surround Mrs. Kwan, who sleeps on the couch. Back on the street, Sally spies Joan's hatchback.
There's Mom and Larry!
Step on the drink, go.
She shoots Lawrence a look.
Hey, Things, do not do anything to slow down my mom.
Slow down Mom!
As the Things backflip out of the car, subtitles appear. Let's go Chocolate Thunder.
Well, Joan, they don't beat them every day.
Oh, great.
As Joan cruises to a stop, a motorcycle pulls up.
I'm sorry, officer, was I speeding?
A thing is dressed as a cop.
I could take a license, have a registration.
The convertible drives past.
Mama.
Hey, that's my car. Joan, we've got to go right away.
Please, let me handle this. Sorry, I guess I was in a hurry to get home.
I'm not going to let them get away with this.
As one of the things eats Joan's registration, the other performs the Heimlich maneuver. Lawrence steals the police motorcycle.
Leave me in the house!
Now the convertible pulls onto Lip Lopper Lane. Inside the house, a giant slime bubble shoots from the crate. Outside, the convertible arrives. As the kids reach the porch, Lawrence pops up.
Not so fast, you little maggots. Oh, you are so busted. Now get inside.
Trust me, you don't want to go in there. It's going to be a total...
They enter the now spotless house.
Rick? Sally, what happened? What about the mother of all messes?
I don't know.
Why am I sneezing?
The cat taps his shoulder. Lawrence turns around.
That'd be me.
Lawrence falls backward. The room tears open like fabric, and Lawrence plummets off a cliff into a purple sea. Colorful birds with books for wings fly by.
What happened to our house?
It's the mother of all messes.
Yep,
pure, unadulterated fun without any good sense or judgment. See, corn dog, this is why I warned you not to open the crate. Although, on the plus side, I think people will be talking about tonight's party for the rest of their lives.
Sally shoots a stern look at the cat.
You gotta shut the crate, come on!
Okay.
A windy path unfurls at their feet.
Let's take the front hall carpet.
This can't be the front hall.
This is what happens when you mix your world and my world. Oh, and when you eat bad shellfish.
Trees grow by a giant telephone.
Oh, yeah!
Cat, how do we find the crate?
Beats me. This hat is worthless, and it makes me look fat.
Where's Mrs. Kwan?
Oh, here she comes. Right on schedule.
The sleeping babysitter swoops down a chute and stops at their feet.
Oh, yeah!
We're going to ride, Mrs. Kwan?
Sure, it's the only way to the crate. Hop on! Oh, this is gonna be good.
They sit astride Mrs. Kwan.
Please keep your hands and feet in the Kwan at all times. Enjoy the ride.
They ride off.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dining room.
Oh. This is the dining room?
Chairs sit on warped green walls. They ride Mrs. Kwan up the mutated stairs. On a pedestal, a clam-shaped commode belches a fiery flush.
Is that the bathroom?
You might want to hold it for a while.
The flow carries them up to the top.
Something like that really burns my eye.
They plunge down a steep slope and swirl through a curving chute.
You mean like at Universal Studios?
He shows us brochures. They swirl down the winding slide into a foamy strawberry red pool. Dozing on her back, Mrs. Kwan spits and sputters as she hits the bubbly liquid.
Please exit the Kwan to your left. Have a nice day.
Now at Joan's hatchback.
This is ridiculous. I have to get home.
One thing still performs the Heimlich maneuver on the other. Now a folder reads, I survived the Kwan. A photo shows the cat using a barf bag.
The living room, I think.
Oh, man, my eyes are closed. If there's no line, can we go back and do that again?
There's a crate!
The crate sits with its lid open, with a giant pink cyclone whirling out of it.
If we shut the crate, the house will go back to normal. Gather up!
Conrad pulls out the crab.
Come on, let's go!
Conrad and Sally run through the flying furniture and toys to the crate.
Sally!
They push down on its lid.
Come on! You won't fit! Sally! Everything is disappearing up there!
Dishes and furniture swirl up the pink vortex. The cat watches as the cyclone pulls in Sally.
Help me, Conrad! Sally!
Conrad reaches up and grabs his sister's hand. His other hand reaches for the latch with the crab lock.
Sally! I can't take the lock! No! I can't save you unless you let go! Okay!
Sally lets go and spins up into the pink cloud. Conrad closes the crab lock on the latch.
Yes!
The cloud fades and Sally falls. Conrad catches his sister and sets her down. As they sit on top of the crate, the house morphs back to its normal state. The kids stare at the splattered walls. The ceiling falls in. A chest of drawers crashes through the stairway's railing, and plaster and beams rain down. Outside, the house swells and trembles. By the lawn, Lawrence gushes out of a faucet-shaped pipe. He lies on the grass, coated in purple ooze. Ah! Inside, the cat dances. As a slime-covered Nevins lands on Mrs. Kwan, the kids gape at the destruction.
Okay, we did it.
The kids hop off the crate.
I don't think we did anything.
The place is still a wreck. Cat, you said if we shut the crate, everything would be okay. But it's not. It's a complete disaster.
Well, what are you going to do?
He wears tennis clothes.
Tennis, anyone?
The cat pops open the top of his hat, and tennis balls trundle out. He catches one and holds it to his nose.
Love that new ball smell. Yeah.
Hey, Your hat. It's magic again?
Oops. Well, now that the cat's out of the bag, to use an archaic and cruel-sounding metaphor, why don't you serve first?
You had your real hat this whole time?
Yep. I planned the whole day.
What do you mean? mean you planned the whole day? All of it?
Yep.
The house getting trashed?
Yep.
Quinn taking Nevins?
Yep.
Cutting off your tail?
Nope.
Behind the cat, a ceiling beam falls.
You even knew I'd open the crate?
Why do you think I made it my one rule? I knew you couldn't resist. Now, who's up for a game of Canadian doubles?
He bats the ball through a window.
Cat, you said nothing bad would happen.
Cat, you need to get out.
I don't know that game.
Not a game. None of this is a game.
The cat soberly lowers his racket.
But I thought you two wanted to have fun today.
Look around, Cat. You were right. It's fun to have fun, but you have to know how. And you don't know when enough is enough. Now go.
Susie. Cromwell. Please.
Out!
The cat hangs his head and heads for the door. He stops, smiles, and lifts his finger.
Out!
Another plank falls. The cat mopes out the front door. Conrad and Sally sit on the ruined staircase. As the boy throws down his backpack, the fish pops his head out of the jar.
Good riddance. Now, this may not be the time for I told you so, but...
Debris falls in the rooms behind them.
Like I said, not the time.
He shuts his jar.
I'll get the mop and bucket. Conrad, you might want to get out of here until Mom has a chance to calm down.
No, this was my fault. I'll take the blame. Look, Mom will be home any second. Why don't you go upstairs?
I'm not going upstairs. I'm staying with you.
Really? Why?
Two reasons. One, the stairs are destroyed. Two, this is just as much my fault as yours. We should share the blame.
Sally takes Conrad's hand.
Thanks, Sally.
By the way, you're a pretty good brother.
Glad you think that. Maybe we can room together at military school.
The doorknob turns.
Well, here goes.
The gunk-splattered kids stand side by side as the door slowly opens. The cat gleefully arrives, driving a three-wheeled machine resembling a steel-riding lawnmower.
Bet you thought I'd gone, bet you felt a sting. Bet you never thought I'd have another song to sing. But now they've learned a lesson, allow me to blow your mind by reading for you the small print of the contract that you signed.
Okay.
Section 8, Article 93, subparagraph 834, right by the Tilly's name. It reads, if Conrad, a.k.a. Concrete, should open the crate, and we know he will, the contract shall be null and void.
The lawyers hold the contract.
However, if Sally and Conrad should learn from their mistakes, the contract shall be reinstated. And I think you two have satisfied the legal burden of learning.
Yeah!
So there's just one last game to play. It's called Clean Up the House, kids. Meet the dynamic industrial renovating tractor-majigger.
D-I-R-T?
That's right!
The cat drives into the living room and throws a lever. 10 robotic hands on cables spring out of the machine. The things drive in mini-dirts. The things high-five and robotic arms bump fists. The mechanical hands slap plaster on the cracked walls and quickly hammer nails. The cat's dirt saws plywood and straightens picture frames. One thing turns its mini-dirt into a bulldozer and clears away clutter. Arms plaster walls, spackle cracks above the fireplace, sweep the floor and repair the stairway. One thing rides its tri-wheeler up a wall toward hard-to-reach ceiling cracks. He drives across the ceiling upside down. Now in her hatchback, Joan glances at her watch, then turns onto Lip-Lapper Lane. In the house, robotic arms sweep a curtain of absorbent cloth strips over the dirty kids, lathering them like a car wash. A burst of air blows them dry. They sparkle. In the dining room, rotating hands sweep up broken plates and shoot them out whole into their original piles. In the kitchen, the things wipe the counters and replace a tray of food.
Oh, yeah! These traits are so out there in.
Now the arms of the dirt pick Mrs. Kwan up by head and feet and spin her around. As the device spins her faster, the ooze splatters off her body. Laying her back down, more gloved hands remove her glasses, then apply face powder and mascara. While the cat brushes his teeth, the hands apply lipstick and eyeshadow to Mrs. Kwan. Outside, Joan parks her car and gets out. Back inside, the cat's dirt sucks up Joan's dress, then spits it out clean, sending it into the closet where it hangs and sparkles. Now their slime-coated dog lowers into the dirt. The cat pours shampooch in after him. An arm opens a compartment at the bottom, and Nevin leaps out. As bubbles float away, he shakes out his clean fur and sparkles. The things drive into the red crate, and the lid shuts behind them. The crate spins and shrinks into a tiny box. The cat picks it up and places it in his hat. Outside, Joan approaches the front walkway.
Okay. We had some good times. We cleaned up the house. We even managed to work in an up-tempo pop tune for the soundtrack. That's important.
Conrad and Sally smile.
I guess there's just one last thing to check.
The cat takes out the phenometer and attaches it to Conrad's forehead. The gauge spins from rule breaker to just right. Next, the cat attaches it to Sally's forehead. The gauge moves from control freak to just right.
Looks like everything's in balance, but you're still smoking way too many cigars, and you lay off the sauce.
Cat, this day has been amazing. Thank you, Cat.
As the cat bows, Conrad puts his arm around Sally.
For everything.
The cat softens his gaze.
Conrad? Sally?
He tips his hat.
Adieu.
The cat heads to the back door.
Cat!
Cat!
Wait, cat! Don't go!
As the cat grins, Joan turns the keys in the front door. An outside view shows Joan enter while the cat exits. The kids race to the staircase.
All right, kids, this place better not be a mess. I'm home.
Come on, come on.
Ms. Walden, home so soon? The children were angels.
Thanks, Mrs. Kwan.
Hello, Joan.
Lawrence enters covered in ooze.
Lawrence, what happened to you?
Slime stretches between his hands.
They happened to me. Your demonic children. They destroyed your house?
He eyes the pristine interior.
The house was alive. The wall was made of paper. I fell off the cliff. And the giant cat?
He looks around fearfully.
The giant cat?
You look terrible. My mom thinks you're insane. This is what we in sales call a win-win scenario.
Joan steps forward.
Joan, you were passing up the opportunity of a lifetime. You know what kind of kid your boy is. I mean, who are you going to believe?
You're right. I do know what kind of kid Conrad is. He can be irresponsible.
Yes.
He makes bad choices.
Yes.
Sometimes he makes me want to tear my hair out.
Yes, yes, yes.
But he's a good kid.
She puts her arm around Conrad.
And I believe in him. Now I'd like you to leave.
What? Joan.
As Sally opens the door, Joan tears up the military school brochure and slaps it onto his sticky jacket. Lawrence falls to his knees. As he pulls his hands away from his nose, strands of purple glop stretch to his fingers.
Will you marry me, Joan?
She grimaces and pushes the door closed. Joan. Sally turns the lock and smiles. She races over to Conrad and they dance in a circle.
Yes!
Joan grins at her children. Mrs. Kwan falls asleep standing up. Later, party napkins read, Meet and Greet, hosted by Joan Walden.
Whoa! Almost got me again.
Enjoy the party.
I told you,
Mr. Humberfield.
Joan, the party's a hit and the house is immaculate. Congratulations.
Grinning, Joan carries a tray of blue frosted cupcakes. Elsewhere, the kids watch the fish dance.
Hi, Mom.
Honey, your cupcakes are a huge hit. What did you put in them?
Mom, you can make cupcakes out of anything.
Are you telling me you can make cupcakes out of anything?
Anything.
Anything? So what did you kids do today, huh?
Well, what would you do if your mother asked you? The family was whole, all thanks to the cat, who was dashing and charming, no doubt about that. He was witty and cultured.
The cat is the narrator.
Very endearing and tremendously attractive, but in a sort of real way, you know, kind of approachable way.
He notices us.
Oh, hello. I was just,
He stands outside with a microphone hanging from his hat.
How'd they get so small?
In the house, Joan, Conrad, and Sally jump up and down on the couch. With each leap, the family flails their arms and kicks their feet. Outside, beneath the spiral clouds above Liplapper Lane, the cat struts down the street toward a golden sunset. The things shuffle beside him, cartwheeling and backflipping in unison.
Come on, things, let's go. What's on my schedule for tomorrow? What do you say we go on vacation?